1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. Can't you just feel it, baby? January the 1st, The Phil Henry Show presents a live, uncensored, and unedited webcast of the Tournament of Roses Parade. Never before done on the web. Never before done. You can't hear it on the radio. You can't see it on TV. An unedited, uncensored webcast of the Tournament of Roses Parade on January 1, starting at 8 o'clock Pacific in the morning. And you can listen live via the Internet for just $4.95. Hear this historic presentation live and uncensored for just $4.95. Go to philhendryshow.com for details. That's philhendryshow.com. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Listen to this. A Hewlett-Packard employee jumped or fell out the door of a company plane at 2,000 feet despite an attempt by another passenger to restrain her, according to the FBI. The woman is presumed dead. The FBI was investigating today whether it was a suicide or an accident. Now, the 15-seat Haviland Twin Otter airplane, which was operated as a commuter service for Hewlett-Packard employees, was carrying five passengers and two pilots when it set out on its regular Thursday night flight from the Sacramento area to San Jose. When the plane hatch was opened, the passenger immediately in front of her turned around and observed a female passenger halfway out of the plane. He lunged over the seat, reached for her, and was able to grab a hold of her shoulder and attempted to pull her back into the plane. Sacramento police said late Friday afternoon they had found what they believed was the woman's body in a vegetable garden behind a house in the southern part of the city. The woman, whose name was not immediately released, was an employee in the high-tech company's purchasing department. We've ruled out foul play on behalf of any of the passengers. We are looking strictly at this as a possible suicide or accident, according to Andrew Black. There was no unusual behavior on the plane leading up to the episode. The FAA ruled out possibility that there was a mechanical malfunction. The plane had set out from the airport outside of Sacramento. Shortly after departure, a light in the cockpit indicated a door on the plane was unlocked, prompting the pilot to make an emergency landing at a Sacramento airport. We don't have to do much setup on this bit, do we? Jesus, I'm halfway through the quarter hour here. I hope you guys are still with me. Those of you who are still with me, you just move up to the front here. The plane had set out from an airport outside of Sacramento. Shortly after departure, a light in the cockpit indicated a door on the plane was unlocked, prompting the pilot to make an emergency landing at the airport. After checking on the door, the plane took off again. 3 minutes later, a door on the plane opened. They noticed there was a problem with the door and were told that a female reportedly jumped. She went out the door some 10 miles south of Sacramento. The plane continued on its way, landed at the San Jose airport. More than a half hour later, a man called San Jose police from a Hewlett-Packard building and told authorities that a woman had either fallen or jumped from the airplane. So I hope you guys understand what I just told you. Maybe you've heard the story. It's pretty bizarre. Art Griego is a private pilot at here in Southern California, and he does fly small commuter hops privately. And I wanted to get you on the line here, Art, to tell us what this was. I mean, was this a suicide? And if it was a suicide, how do pilots prevent this?
Well, Phil, the door could be faulty.
All right, so it could have been some kind of a mechanical malfunction?
Well, I believe they ruled that out.
They did say they weren't looking at that.
But I still say there could have been something wrong with the door. I don't think it was a suicide. I think it was an accident. And I'll tell you what, the NTSB will tell you that it is almost always a design flaw. If you have an accident like this that involves a female passenger, it has to do most probably with a design flaw on the hatch door. And I'll tell you why.
Now, we're talking about a female passenger.
That's correct. The hatch door on a small plane like this the de Havilland DHC-6, or even a Malibu Mirage. The hatch door and the lavatory doors are perceived by women to look alike because women use a different part of their brain in perceptive abilities. So what's happened here is in the past, some women believe they are entering the plane's lavatory and, in point of fact, are entering the hereafter.
They're entering the outside of the plane?
That's correct. And it is a very, very tragic situation.
So you're telling me that because women use a different part of their brain, they see the hatch door as the same as the lavatory door?
Yes.
And so this woman probably thought she was going to the bathroom.
I would say so. And I'll tell you...
Have you ever experienced this?
Yes, I have. I was piloting a flight to Santa Barbara, and I was flying a Malibu Mirage, and a woman had entered the cockpit thinking that it was a lavatory. So I knew we had a problem, and I got to tell you, I wasn't all that surprised when I saw the emergency light go on. I knew we had what's known in the industry as a floater.
And it's called what?
It's called a floater.
All right, what is that?
Well, that's someone who is who has walked out of the airplane.
So you're saying that you have passengers who in the past have stepped out of the hatch door thinking it was the lavatory?
That is correct. And the only thing you do is just go into an immediate dive.
All right, we'll be back to talk a little bit more about this with Art Griego. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Four four nine eight six eight six. Phil Hendry Show. So we had a situation where a woman fell out of an airplane in Northern California today. Either fell or jumped out of an airplane, and in the cockpit of the aircraft, they saw an emergency light go on, saying that the hatch was open. They found the lady's body. They think it could be a suicide attempt. Art Griego, who's a private pilot and has seen this kind of thing before, is on the line with us. You don't think it was a suicide?
I think it was an accident, Phil. And again, I've seen this happen before. It happened to me when I was ferrying some passengers where women think that the hatch door is the lavatory.
And so they get up to use the lavatory, and the first door they come to is the side hatch.
It's the side hatch of the aircraft. And they go to open it, and they step out into what should be a bathroom, but in point of fact is air. And, of course, you can well imagine at that point there is not a whole lot you can do but just cross yourself and hope for the best.
Well, at 2,000 feet up.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say there's no way you can hope for the best. But
Can you tell me, you say that this happened to you. Can you give us some specifics?
Oh, the time?
The time that you say a woman walked out of an aircraft that you were piloting?
She had come up to the Phil. She had come up to the cockpit,
and she thought that was a lavatory.
Yes, sir. And I told her this is not the lavatory; that the lavatory was back in the cabin. When I saw the emergency light go on, I knew what had happened. I knew we'd have a floater.
All right. Now you call a floater, excuse me, a passenger that has stepped out of an aircraft.
That is correct.
All right, what do you do if you have, and I have to say, if I was a pilot and I lost a passenger, and this doesn't happen on a commercial jetliner, I would imagine.
No, it really doesn't, and it shouldn't happen on a small craft, but it's easier, and you're flying at a lower altitude.
All right, so what happens when you lose a passenger?
Well, Phil, the only thing you can do is go into an immediate dive.
And you're diving to do what?
You're diving to locate. And once you have located, try and catch them. That is, dive down, try and catch them on a wing. Barring that, you call the nearest tower with a standard Mayday times two.
And is that a distress call?
That is a distress call. It basically means that we have a floater incoming.
And when you say a floater incoming, that means a human being is falling to the earth.
That is correct. The six times that I've had to call a tower to tell them we had a floater incoming, that is a call, I tell you, that I hate to make. And
You've had this happen to you six times?
Yes, sir.
Six times a woman has stepped out of your aircraft thinking she was going to the bathroom and instead
plummeted to her death.
So when you go into an immediate dive and you say plummeted to her death, you were not able to save any of these women?
No, I was not, Phil. I went into a standard safety dive trying to get these women on the wing of the plane.
What's the likelihood that you're going to catch a woman or catch a body falling through space on the wing of the plane?
I don't know. I mean, it's a standard safety dive. There's a probability that you might be able to grab them out of the air. You know, I can tell you that as a pilot, before you take off, you have to make sure you go back and do the safety dance and let the woman know, let the women know that as crazy as it sounds, for no reason are you to step outside of the aircraft. You've got to let them know that. And I think it's a crime that I even have to do that. But once a floater incoming hits the ground, it's called a puff of dust.
That's when they hit.
That's when they hit, yes, sir.
All right, we're talking here with Art Griego. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. And we're talking about a very bizarre occurrence in Northern California today where a small commuter flight took off from an airport in the Sacramento area. One of the emergency lights went on. The plane landed. The pilot checked to make sure that the hatch was secure. Took off again. I guess the emergency light went on again because at that point, a hatch had been opened by a female passenger, and she stepped out and dove to her death. That was 2,000 feet up. The body was found in the garden of a home in the southern part of the city of Sacramento. And Art Griego is a private pilot. He is on the line with us to talk about the possibility or the probability of a woman stepping out of an aircraft by mistake. And Art, you have mentioned that you have to, during the safety dance, tell people the difference between the lavatory door and the hatch door.
Well, that's correct. What we basically say to them is, what I say to them is this. Under no circumstances are you to leave the aircraft. Now, a lot of people shouldn't have to be told that, and most people don't need to be told that. But I tell them under no circumstances are you to step outside or leave the aircraft. And
do you say, well, this is the lavatory door and this is the...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But still, some people, and you know how people are during the safety dance, they're paying attention, they're not paying attention, they're looking at you, you know, they just absolutely are not sometimes cognizant of what it is that you're trying to tell them. And so that is the toughest part, I think, Phil, is trying to get people to understand that they need to pay attention during that safety dance.
All right, well, you know, when I'm on a jetliner and I'm listening to the safety dance being given by the flight attendants, I don't pay attention, but I don't think that I have to because I'm not exactly going to step out of the aircraft. And I'm not exactly going to do anything like do anything stupid like that, okay? It seems to me that a lot of that stuff we've all heard before.
That is correct.
So, you know, how likely is it that anybody's going to be paying attention to you?
Well, I don't know, Phil. I know with tragic consequences I have not mentioned, and I probably should have mentioned, and I think I will from now on mention to a lot of the female passengers that I have. Do not, under any circumstances, step outside of this aircraft because we've had six floaters, and we've had six floaters incoming that became puffs of dust.
Well, or tell the women that they've mistaken the door.
That they've mistaken the door for the restroom. That's exactly correct. And that way, Phil, I think we can go a long way toward saving lives. And I'm so very sorry for the family of this lady.
Well, but is there any possibility that it was a suicide?
I suppose there was.
Because I'm thinking that maybe they're able to open these hatch doors easier.
It's possible. It's possible, Phil, but I don't know if it's probable. I think that this is more the answer.
Art Griego, our guest, 1-800-449-8686. Talking here about a lady who either jumped or stepped out of an aircraft. An aircraft that was some 2,000 feet above the ground when she did. And the Federal Aviation Administration has ruled out the possibility that there was a mechanical malfunction that caused the door to open. Again, the plane had set out from an airport outside of Sacramento shortly after departure. A light in the cockpit indicated a door on the plane was unlocked, prompting the pilot to make an emergency landing at a Sacramento airport. And after checking the door, the crew took off again. 3 minutes later, a door on the plane opened. They noticed that there was a problem with the door, and they were told that a female had reportedly jumped out. Now, that to me is the is an interesting phrase, because that doesn't say that she stepped out, she jumped out, and that the possibility was a suicide. Art, do you have a comment on that?
Phil, I would say that jumped out is a matter of interpretation, okay, because she might have had to have used the lavatory so badly that she raced in. How many times have we, if we needed to use the can that badly, have raced into a lavatory? And she probably popped the door, ran in, and realized there wasn't any toilet there. And, in fact, there wasn't any sink there. In fact, there wasn't anything. I can tell you that an interesting story. One of the women who jumped or stepped out of the airplane that I was piloting, one of the women was overheard to say, somebody left the hand dryer on because there was a lot of wind blowing.
And she was actually outside the aircraft.
She was actually outside the aircraft, yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Mark on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Mark, hello.
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Hi, this is Mark.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, I am a commercial pilot, and first of all, I've never heard of a safety dive. What kind of plane is he flying? I guess it's supposed to be at least an airplane.
What kind of plane were they flying today?
Well, or this guy who's talking about...
I was in a Malibu Mirage. I was in a Malibu Mirage.
Huh?
A Malibu Mirage.
Is that a single or a twin?
That's a single.
A single. What kind of bathrooms? I'm not aware. I mean, I'm aware.
All right,
of
sir. Did you have a comment you wanted to make?
Yeah.
Okay. What is it?
I've never heard of a safety dive in flying, and I'm an accomplished pilot. Any pilot who's had six people.
And what kind of a pilot are you?
I am an instrument instructor. I have a multi-engine rating. I have a seaplane rating.
Well, you said you're a commercial pilot. So what do you do?
No, I have a commercial pilot's license.
What kind of license is it?
A commercial pilot license allows you to fly for compensation and hire, which would be what he would have.
Well, is it air transport? What is it?
No, air transport would be the highest you'd get to fly as a captain on an airline. So you have to have a commercial first. That means I can charge you for my services.
Okay, go ahead. So what was your comment?
Well, first of all, any pilot who has somebody have six people fall out of a plane wouldn't be a pilot for long. And if you do a safety dive...
Well, that's true. I'm not proud of that.
No, but if you do a safety dive, say with a twin-engine airplane, and you catch them on the wings, they got to fly through the propeller first. That'd be a
right,
little...
I think he already told you that it was a single propeller.
Never heard of trying to catch anybody on a wing. That is a totally absurd...
Well, okay, maybe that's something I know how to do and you don't. Sorry, Mark.
Well,
you know, maybe you want to go back to school, but if you had a passenger fall out of an aircraft, what would you do?
Well, first of all, I would never have a passenger fall out of an aircraft, and second, I have a first line.
Well, if you did, what would you do?
What would I do?
Yes, sir. So you don't have a contingency.
I would at least try to see where the person go down, but the trolling.
There you go. That's what
object
on exactly what I'm doing.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show, talking about a aircraft that lost a passenger today. She fell out of the aircraft at 2,000 feet. Art Griego is on the phone with us. He is a pilot. You just heard the other pilot say that you just don't lose a passenger that way, Art, that there's no such thing as a safety dive.
Well, but you did hear him say that you do descend to try to see where that passenger is.
Yeah, I heard that, but he said that there was no way you could catch him on a wing.
On a double engine. See, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you, and I'm not going to argue with a guy that I don't even know his credentials. I'm telling you, you can go into a safety dive and catch that passenger on a wing.
And catch him on a wing.
That is correct.
All right, here is Trina on the Phil Henry Show. Hello. Trina, hello?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm not understanding this. You said that women think it's the bathroom because they think with the right side of their brain?
No, I didn't say the right side. Women use a different part of the brain in perceiving things. And we've had a problem on aircraft where women will go to the wrong door to use the lavatory, and sometimes with very tragic consequences.
Well, why don't you guys put a sign over the door and say that it's a bathroom and not an exit?
I hate to say this, but we do.
You do
so
have
why
it.
Do they
well,
go?
Obviously, the sign's not big enough because women can't see it.
It could be.
Because me and my friend Arlen, we fly from North Dakota to California all the time,
and I have never once
had to worry about exiting the wrong or going to the wrong door for the bathroom.
You got a friend named Arlen?
Yes, I have a friend named Arlen.
And what farm does he work on?
Okay.
I'm just kidding around.
And also, I have another question for you. Has not one man fallen out that? Men don't think that way?
Not in my experience. Only women.
Only
women?
We've
only had female floaters.
Only female floaters?
Yes, ma'am.
And why do you think that?
Let me ask you another question. You're flying on a commercial jet, right?
I have, yes.
Okay, well, that's not happening on commercial jets.
So you're saying the only time this happens is on small private planes?
That is correct. Because the planes are small, and you can't get those hatches open.
Why don't you lock them?
Yeah, why aren't they
locked?
You can't lock an emergency hatch, ma'am, because if there is an emergency, you need to get it open.
All right, so women need to. Then what do you suggest women do?
I suggest they pay attention when we tell them.
Oh, you're saying that women don't pay attention now?
I suggest they pay attention so that when we say that door is the exit and that door is the lavatory, that they know exactly what it is we're talking about so that they don't use the lavatory door to try to get out of the plane. And we've had that happen, too. We've had women who have gone into the lavatory thinking that they're walking into the terminal of an airport. And they'll stand and wait and stand and wait and stand and wait.
But well, what are they waiting for?
I guess they're waiting for another door to open up. Only to find out that they're in the bathroom. And we've had some women stand in there for upwards of 5 to 10 minutes, you know, waiting for customs to open up, and they're actually standing in the can. So it's scary, and it scares a lot of people. And I will tell you that it's something that we are going to have to be very, very vigilant about.
All right, Art. Well, thank you very much for joining us on the Phil Henry Show. And again, our my condolences to you for having had 6 floaters, and that must have been.
Yeah, it's rough. I've had 6 floaters and 6 puffs of dust.
Meaning they
hit the ground.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Flashback.
It's pronounced Los Angeles.
No, es Los Angeles. Usted no sabe hablar inglés ni español. Mm-hmm. Ese es el problema que usted tiene.
Hey,
I speak both English and Spanish, and trust me, this guy is pulling your leg big time.
Hey, are you getting one of them?
He doesn't know what the heck he's talking about, and when he talks about the fact that there's only 20 people in his group, it's probably homeless people that he's bringing in and serving him dinner and sitting through his meeting. Because I am telling you, he does not represent anybody.
Is that what you do, sir? Guys like you feed homeless people, they come in, they listen to your bull crap, and then you say they're in your organization?
You know, that really hurts. That's a cold shot.
He is so idiotic. The word
What about Fargo?
The people that are listening to your show Spanish.
What about Spokane, Washington? How do you pronounce that?
Spokane, Washington is not a Spanish word, you idiot. Are you moronic? What is wrong with you?
What do you mean, Spokane, Washington?
New York. Let's you know.
Nuevo York.
New York was named for a English.
I want to ask you something. Are you getting one of them nasty weaves at that salon?
I'm not getting a nasty weave. Okay, I'm getting my hair colored, if you must know. But I'm telling you, Phil, he's pulling your leg.
This man represents no one.
He's getting his 10 minutes of fame.
No, Mr. Henry. Hoochie Mama's like this lady. She's getting the big...
He's laughing now because he knows what he's saying.
Are you pulling my leg?
And what I just said was, this is a man that doesn't speak Spanish, and he's tried to portray himself to be something he's not. And the fact that you put him on without explaining that he's got 20 people in his organization legitimizes his insanity. No, ma'am.
That is wrong.
And Phil, I hope you don't do that because I'm telling you, he does not know what he's talking about.
Put down the can of...
It's not me. It's
Lady, put down the can of Aquanet and listen to me.
I don't use Aquanet, okay? And you can use all those little things and you think you're very clever, but I'm trying to tell you, you are an idiot. And you're making yourself an idiot on the radio.
You need a whole damn can, don't you?
And Phil, I know you.
You know what? I can hear this guy. I can hear him laughing.
I know.
I can hear him laughing, terrible.
You know why? Because I got him. You know, he can't say to me, I'm not one of these people that goes, oh, yeah, I'm willing to learn and teach me how to speak Spanish.
Exactly.
He can't even pronounce it himself. So I know, Phil, this is one of those things that you would put down.
I want to ask you something. I bet you got the big hair, don't you?
No, I don't. So stop being idiotic and moronic.
You shaved off your eyebrows big as hell.
I'm not even of Mexican descent. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna really upset your little... I'm of Cuban descent, and guess what? Cubans had a lot to do with putting President-elect Bush into the White House.
We voted unanimously for him.
But we're the people that put him over.
Cubans are not Mexicans, and they mess up this country.
Oh, absolutely.
Believe me, you are absolutely right. We're not Mexicans. You came to this country with your cha-cha heels and your blonde hair, you know, and it's all bleached out, chica, you know.
Oye, chico, tú no sabes de lo que estás hablando.
Okay, anyway, I gotta bail out of that. That guy is a metal case.
Phil Hendry's flashback.
What happened, man?
I thought it'd be at the end.
You thought it'd be at the end? We're all messed up today. You're listening to the Messed Up Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. I have obviously been battling with this sore throat, you know, and that stuff. So I just had it out with my staff again. You guys going to quit? No, you're not going to quit. Mike says, why would we want to quit? Because I just ripped you guys a new ass. Because I was screaming, I was jumping up and down in here, and I was saying, I demand hot water and cough drops. Why don't I have hot water and cough drops? I'm going to have a full physical on January the 8th. I'm just letting my... Oh, look at this. Jeff's nodding. You could. Well, I am, man. I mean, I'm having a complete physical. I'm having a complete workup done, man. Because we are on the cusp of greatness. I want to make sure that I have the pristine health to enjoy all of it. We are sitting on the edge of greatness here. And I'm getting sick of this, man. Every fall, I get that post-nasal drip thing into the throat and the next thing, and I got no freaking voice. Now, if I did a show like everybody else, I could get through 3 hours a day with a throat like this, a couple of cough drops, a little bit of tea, and I could, you know, fake my way through a three-hour show. But because we do the show that we do, because I do so many different things on the show, that I'm trashed, man, by the end of this thing. But I ain't taking any more time off. Screw that. There's no way. You guys are going to just have to listen to me with the bad throat and everything else. And even with the bad throat, we've had a couple of home runs. Even with the lousy throat, we've knocked the ball out of the park this week. But that having been said, on January the 8th, that's a Monday. Is that a Monday? Yeah. So I can enjoy the weekend, so I can kiss my wife and family goodbye before I go into the doctor's office and find out the horrible truth that I'm, you know, dying from some sort of tropical jungle fever. January the 8th is the day that I go in for my full physical, the first one that I've had in years, and find out just how bad a shape. Doctor listened to my lungs the other day because I went in there and he gave me some crap for my cold. And he listened to my lungs. He said, "You used to be a smoker?" I said, "Yeah, you got remarkably clear lungs for a smoker." I'm like, "Thanks, Doc." My wife was sitting there. I said, "See? So I could go home and have that cigar?" But then the nurse took my blood pressure and she goes, "You have a high blood pressure?" I said, "No, I don't. It's running a little bit high." I said, "Well, you know, it's kind of nerve-wracking being..." "I know. Sometimes you're nervous being in the doctor's office, or sometimes you alcohol can do it. Cigarettes or coffee." I said, "No, I haven't had anything to drink, and I'm not smoking, and no, I drink decaf." "Well, decaf I do that too." But it is a little nerve-wracking being in the doctor's office. "Sure, I understand." Yeah, that's the day. I got to do the old fast, 24-hour fast, go in, draw blood, take a look at my panels. Oh, God. Do you have that fatalistic thing? Because I was raised Roman Catholic, so naturally, the way I look at life is, even though I've tried to, you know, keep a smile on my face and look on the bright side, but being raised Catholic, naturally you think that there's disaster lurking at every turn, okay? Being raised Roman Catholic, naturally you think that as soon as you achieve your dream in life, then everything's going to fall apart. Because that's, you know, you got to give it to Jesus and all that stuff. So, you know, I worry about that. You know, right here I'm in the wheelhouse of my career. We're doing really well. The show is growing. And so naturally I will, you know, go in. The doctor's going to, you know, give me a physical and find out that I have some rare tropical disease. Some kind of rare tropical malaria. You know, I got a mosquito net hanging around me. I'm sweating. People are giving me sponge baths. I don't know. I fear that. More than anything else. More than anything else, I fear being given a sponge bath. I fear being given a sponge bath by a younger black woman who can't wait to get out of there and get home to her husband. I fear that my life will wind up that I'm leaning forward in a tub and someone's sponging my back and, you know, and she's, you can't wait to get the hell out of the old folks' home and run home to her husband so they can go out dancing. And I'm going to sit there and watch What's My Line, something. That's what I fear. So naturally, you know, I do everything I can to work against that. So yeah, so I had to chew the kids out here this afternoon. And they're probably getting pretty tired of it. They're probably getting sick and tired of working for me. Sick to death of looking at me. Sick to death of even smell, you know, breathing the same air that I breathe. They come in here. It's all they can do to come in here every day. Sit down and put up with my crap. Ain't that right? Okay, Schaefer's nodding now. You're right. Look, I demand a lot. I can't. I'm sorry. I apologize, you guys. I'm a very demanding guy. Now, I know you can take it, Schaefer, because you're tough. Melissa, she's a little thin-skinned. But I just demand perfection. Now, some would say you can't have perfection. Yeah, but how do you live with the other alternative, which is dog meat? See, I don't want to do that kind of radio. And there's a lot of radio shows out there that settle for that. I don't want to say who, but I heard a producer say once to me, she says, "You know, he's really having a crap show, and I don't have the heart to tell him because he thinks he's having a great show." I have the opposite problem. Sometimes I'm having really good shows, and I think the show sucks. And because that's just the way I view it. So that's probably not very healthy. I think I've got an anorexic view of the work that I do on the air. I think I have the same problem that anorexic girls have. When they look in the mirror and they see skinny, or they look in the mirror, I should say, and they see fat. when in point of fact, they are scrawny as hell. I listen to this show and I hear crap morning, noon, and night, even though, point of fact, we're doing a great show, better than 90% of them out there. But I listen to it and all I hear is what, I could have done that better. This could have been a better bit. That bit could have been shorter. We could have done this with that. We could have done that with it. And I don't go home at night happy. I don't go home at night and throw myself into the arms of my wife and go, it's another perfect week, honey. Oh. I worry about the future. I worry about whether the show's good enough. I worry about whether we'll survive. I worry about whether they're going to be here next year or someplace else next year or, you know, just exactly what's going on. And yet deep, deep down inside of me, I know that we're going to do nothing but hit a home run with this thing. That this show is only going to go through the roof. That there is no other alternative for this show other than for it to be what it always should be and what I've always known it to be, the most unique thing on the radio, and everybody's going to know it. You know, that's when I'm really feeling good. But, you know, on days like today, well, what are you going to do, Jeff, huh? You want to go have a drink with me? I'm just kidding. So then I go home and I just kind of amuse myself listening to music like this. Just crime scene music, you know. I like to just, I imagine chalk outlines on the sidewalk and, you know. Yeah, and then I look out the window and I think, yeah, sure. Sure, Hendry. Big star. You broke her heart. You broke her heart. You scum. All she wanted in the whole wide world was one more slice of that carrot cake. And you went ahead and made your usual crack about her ass, and she's got her head buried in her pillow now crying. Can't even let her enjoy one extra slice of Boston cream pie. You gotta make some crack about her widening ass. Nice going, pal. Way to go, Ace. What a lover man you are, huh? There she is. Face buried in a pillow, weeping. As you are, Henry, you're no good to anybody. Oh, sure, every now and again you make a funny remark on the radio, but you know what, pal? You're nothing. You're lucky to have the friends, the family, the wife, the looks that you have. Because it's all going to end, pal. Because you're Catholic. And you know it will. Give it up to Jesus, Phil. Light some candles, man. Do a novena. Get that St. Bernadette holy card out. So I took on the hair shirt, beat myself with a rope, and went back up to the Abbey and made some more beer. I'm Brother Wenceslaus, and this is the Brother Wenceslaus Show, making Pilsner beer since 1843.